Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
So this morning we conclude, we've been in a sermon series called The Holy Spirit. This morning we conclude. Last Sunday was a special Sunday, it was Mother's Day, but we also had Tim Inlow, an evangelist with us, who really blessed us, and Monday night in particular, we had Sunday morning, Monday night, and Tuesday night, we called it the Holy Spirit Conference, and Monday night in particular, what an amazing service we had. It was almost like God opened up the heavens, he opened up the doors, and we worshiped like we've never worshiped. The altars were packed, our young people lingered around the altar, they stayed long. I was like, how much is that worth to a church? I mean, it's very valuable to allow the Spirit of God to sink deep into our hearts and our thoughts. This past week, I think it was Monday night or Tuesday night, my family and I were kind of getting ready for bed. We were watching just a little bit of TV. It was around 11 o'clock, and all of a sudden, we heard the garage door open by itself, and we got nervous. So we locked the inside of the door, you know what I mean, because we thought someone was breaking in. We called the Esham Township Police, my peoples. Right? Because like, we're like, somebody is breaking in right now. And so they kind of come to the front door. They had guns drawn in the garage. I had guns drawn on the inside. I mean, we were nervous. Come to find out, I don't know what happened to the garage door because of maybe the rain. It went up by itself. But boy, we were relieved. Listen, usually what happens with religion and like problems is fear. But the Holy Spirit comes and he gives an ease and a peace to what God's done. We are sensing a great move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let me just show you a couple pictures, I think from Monday night. The altars were full. You could maybe see, some of you could see yourselves worshiping, Pastor Chad up there ministering to people. Just wonderful. Your children are there. My children are there. It was just a wonderful time. You want to hear something very interesting? We had pastors and youth pastors from other churches with us during this Holy Spirit conference. Something's happening in churches where young people in particular, but people are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. God's touching people, but the pastors and the youth pastors, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. God will move by his Holy Spirit, whether your pastor, your church, teacher, God wants to touch us by his Holy Spirit. And so we had people from other churches, their youth pastors and pastors seeking the Lord, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was just a wonderful time in God's presence. And Tim Inlow, he has a very unique style, like a teaching ministry, but he has great influence. I think Tuesday afternoon, I think it was 11, 12 o'clock, maybe 1 o'clock, he was talking to the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Doug Clay, about how more younger people can experience the power of God's Holy Spirit in this next generation. A lot of people just don't know. They sense and they feel stuff, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is a real person. He's alive and active, and he's moving today, and he wants to move in your lives this morning. And amen. We can put our hands together for that. So this morning, I want to talk to you about practically how you can walk with the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis. We believe in all of the gifts. We believe in tongues interpretation. We believe everything that the Bible has to talk about. But I want to talk to you about on a day-to-day basis. Balancing your checkbook, raising children, dating. I want to talk to you about how to fight. I want to talk about everything in life. How do you walk with the Lord, the Spirit-filled life? It's just not on these Holy Spirit conferences and we say, goodbye, Holy Spirit. But we invite the Holy Spirit to walk with us on a day-to-day basis. So we go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're talking about walking with the Holy Spirit. So here we are. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you too will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, won't go to heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is, let's read this together, ready? I think there's nine fruits of the Spirit. Let's read it loud and clear. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. The Apostle Paul was talking about walking this Holy Spirit, this new life found in Christ, this freedom, by walking a day-to-day pattern with Him. Now, I have to deprogram some of you. Most people, when they think of church, they think about church and its programs. We have programs for kids. We have programs for youth. We have programs for men. We have programs for women. We have programs for people on drugs. We have programs for people. We have programs for everything. That's not really what the church is supposed to be, a bunch of programs. The church is supposed to teach people how to follow Jesus and take the next step. So my goal is not to get you into a program, even if that word is used. My goal is to help you to grow as a follower of Jesus Christ or a disciple and get you spiritually prepared even for heaven. This walking it out, and you walk by the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul talks about this life that's following Jesus of the Holy Spirit, but he starts with this introduction for us, and here's point number one. Walk in the Spirit with love. Walking in the Spirit must be done with love. Let's go back to verse 13 through 15, because this is the foundation for the rest of the message. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free, but do not use this freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve on one another humbly in love. For the entire law, don't forget Jesus, don't forget the cross, don't forget sinners, is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you don't, the church will turn inward. It'll get selfish. And if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroying each other by accident. Now, what's happened is the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people in Galatia. It's the Galatians. And there was something that was happening. People were giving their lives to Jesus Christ who were called Gentiles. A Gentile is anyone who's not a Jew. But if you remember, the Jewish people brought us the Messiah. Christ was Jewish. All the first people that believed on Jesus, they were Jewish. And what was happening was, now other people, non-Jews, any Gentiles in the house tonight? Right, most of us are Gentiles. That actually happened because of the Apostle Paul. If you're not Jewish, there was a man by the name of Apostle Paul who had a burden that everybody would hear about Jesus. So what happened was, these Gentiles were giving their hearts to the Lord, but there were some people that were sneaking in some false or bad doctrine called Judaizers, and they were teaching people that once they gave their life to Christ, they had to go back to being Jewish. If you remember in the Old Testament, if you were part of the Jewish community, to show that you were part of the Jewish community, the men had to be circumcised. Does everyone know what circumcision is? We won't take time now to talk about it, right? So the Gentiles who were getting born again, saved, there's these Judaizers coming. You guys have got to become circumcised. You have to start obeying like this Mosaic, the laws of the Old Testament, do everything. And Jesus said, no, you're called to be free. You don't need to go back to being Jewish. And that was only an external. This freedom that Jesus has is internal, and I'm going to clean you up from the inside out. This teaching is very important because if you remember Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther with the Great Reformation, for 1,000 years, the Catholic Church talked that you receive salvation by good works or giving money to the church. And Martin Luther King said, Galatians, that's my book. He compared that book to his wife. It's that you are saved by grace and grace alone, by the blood of Jesus who washes away your sin. You don't have to pay anybody. You don't have to do anything. It's God's grace. But what they were doing, they were taking the... So the Apostle Paul was preaching that you could be saved from your sin. You could be free, but these people were bringing them right back into bondage. And so what's happened is there was these problems that were happening, but if you listen to Apostle Paul, he says, listen, people argue about religious things and all the, but he goes, more than anything else, a Christ follower will learn how to love other people. Listen, I want to just tell you something. By the way, if you look at chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Galatians, he had all these enemies. They challenged his being an apostle, who he was, and he was getting into all of it. It's kind of convoluted if you don't know it, but he's like, listen, more than anything else, you have to love. Being a part of a Spirit-filled church will be very unique to you. If you come from a Catholic background or Lutheran, if you walk in here, this is different than a Catholic church, isn't it? Like you actually get some coffee on the way in. Somebody say, Lord, thank you for the coffee. You get the coffee in the lobby, you get the Holy Spirit in the sanctuary. That's a good start to your day, right? Listen, it's not better or worse. But we believe in everything that's in the Bible is relevant for today. So it's very possible for you to come to a Spirit-filled church, and the Bible talks about like tongues and interpretation in the church. We have tongues and interpretation. You will experience and sense life change. There'll be testimonies of people who said, man, I was on drugs and God freed me, and now I was messed up, I was a liar, I was a cheater, and God changed my heart, and I want to do the right thing now. You will experience life change. You will experience miracles in a Spirit-filled church. A couple years ago, I think 4 years ago, there was a couple, they moved to America. They were from South Africa, and they were sitting like right here. On a Wednesday night, they came to our prayer service. I share this story a lot, but they had twin boys that were born, and they were 1 pound each. And they came to a, they kind of came late, and they stood up in the middle of a prayer service and said, if God doesn't heal our children, our kids are going to die today. I was like, ooh, I guess that's why we're here at a prayer service. And I called all the young people up around them to pray. We laid hands on them. They went and sat back at their seat. And the very next day, those babies started to grow to 1 pound, 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 4 pounds, 5 pounds, 6 pounds. And they grew to, now I think they're 4 years old. They run around like just regular little kids. Right here in our sanctuary, miracle took place. We believe in all the miracles. A couple weeks ago, a man who works construction came to church. He could not lift his arms past his elbows. He came to church. He started worshiping the Lord. In the moment of worship and praise to God, he lifted up both hands. He recognized his both hands, and Jesus healed him right there in the service. We believe in the supernatural power of Almighty God. Matter of fact, if you come here today and you need a miracle in your life, things aren't right, someone's on drugs, your family's away from God, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform people's hearts and lives in Jesus Christ. You will experience it. You will feel it. You will sense it. But the Apostle Paul says, even with all those things that are happening, without love, we're nothing. It's the backdrop of everything. And listen, if you're going to be a Spirit-filled Pentecostal Christian, this is Pentecost Sunday, you will be misunderstood in the real world. Actually, a very famous pastor, not too far from here, we had breakfast 2 years ago, and we sat down. He goes, oh, I know about you. You're Pentecostal. I'm like, oh, I'm just nice to meet you. Do you want to order anything like eggs and bacon, or we'll just get right to it? Lewis, you know how you said in the Spanish culture, sometimes it's, you use the word legalism, right? He started describing that. He goes, oh, I've been to one of your churches. That's what he said. Nice guy, Caucasian guy, wasn't Spanish. He goes, oh, yeah. I went to, and the women all had to wear long dresses down there, no makeup. They couldn't listen to any music. I said, oh, that's what you think of me. Listen, I wasn't going to get into an argument with him over what he thought. All I was going to do was love him and order more bacon. Amen? Amen. That's what you got to do. Sometimes you will be misunderstood if you believe all that the Bible has in the Spirit of God. Because most people, they just go to church. It's not real on a day-to-day basis. We believe that the Lord will lead us and guide us and direct our path, but it all happens with the Spirit of love. Watch this, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 3. If I speak in tongues of men or angels, and we believe in that, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Listen, you can speak in tongues and you're a jerk. More people are going to think you're a jerk than liking the tongues. Does that make sense? It has to have love. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move the mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, I'll be a martyr for you, Jesus. I'll leave this country. I'll do whatever. I'll take a bullet for you. But do not have love, the Bible says, I gain nothing. The Spirit-filled life is always one of love. Even if other people don't get what we're doing, what we believe, or whatever, all I'm telling you is people do get love. People get hugs. People get high fives, thank you notes. They get blessings. They'll understand love. You don't have to give up your Pentecostalism. But if you are Pentecostal, you must love and love deep first in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. That's just how it is. Number two, walk in the Spirit with personal commitment. Look what verse 16 through 21 says. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The law of the sin, the law of the former life, the past life. And this is what the Bible says. I'm not saying it. This is what the Bible says. Flesh, sexual immorality, all sex outside of marriage, sex only between a man and a woman inside of marriage, impurity, anything that's impure, not right, not clean. Debauchery usually has to do with drunkenness and crazy, wild living. Idolatry, that means you're putting something before God. Witchcraft, listen, I'm not trying to preach at every little thing, but sometimes people have these Pokemon cards and these black magic and all this stuff, and you go to this place that's dark. Hatred, you say, I hate black people, I hate white people, I hate Spanish people, I hate white, you have this hatred in your heart, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. You get angry for no reason. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions. Your problems, there's so much arguing and fighting inside the home, and envy, drunkenness, orgies. That's more than one person having sex with more than one person at a time, a bunch of people, and the like. Anything along those lines. He goes, as I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, the Bible pits it really hard as far as what the flesh is. Listen, there's three things that will bring you down: Satan, the world, and the flesh. A lot of people will blame Satan. Oh, you don't believe Trump. He's making me go to hell. No, he's not. What we're talking about is the flesh. Now, I need to show you how you can overcome your flesh. The Bible, go back, if you will, to that last, the scripture that we had. No, I'm sorry, the one before that. Watch this. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit which is contrary. But if you're led by the Spirit, the Bible talks about this. If you're led by the Spirit, you'll stand up and you'll walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, the flesh has to go away. But most people, even Christians on Sunday, you like the chairs. We have the best chairs in Marlton, right? We're going to get cup holders and remote controls for you next week. Come back right there. But most people just sit and they get full of the flesh and they indulge the flesh. The Bible says, listen, you can overcome the flesh, but you have to get up and start walking in the Spirit. Take personal responsibility and say, those things don't belong in my life. I am going to walk in the Spirit, and God says you will have victory in your life. Now, the Bible says this. Even as believers, you have this battle that's inside of you. The Apostle Paul said in Romans, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. But thanks be to Christ, thanks be to God who gives us Jesus Christ for the victory. But I have a strong flesh. Does anyone have a strong flesh? Like, you know the right thing to do, but you still want to do the bad stuff? Does anybody? The rest of you are lying. You're lying in church. Guy in the back's like, that's me. Me too. You know what I found the only way to have victory in my life is to starve the flesh. Complete starvation. And to get perfect holiness in my life, perfect holiness, there's only one way. It's actually to fast. Because you know what I love to do? I love to eat. Anybody? I love to satisfy my flesh. I like to be comfortable. Anyone thinking about a power nap this afternoon in the rain? Oh my goodness. A Sunday afternoon nap in the rain is the best. I love when everything's going my way. I love when my wife says, "What can I do for you, honey?" I love it when everybody's healthy in my home, when all the bills are paid, when the future looks bright, when there's no conflict. I just love it. What does the Bible teach us when we're fast? What we should do is only drink water and no sexual intimacy. It is total starvation of what we want to do with our flesh. Our flesh craves what we want, and it's part of the flesh. And the Bible says, listen, if you want to walk by the Spirit on a day-to-day basis, you must starve the flesh. And what God is calling me to do is, like even yesterday, I know you kind of lose your blessing when you tell people, preaching is difficult for me. The weight, the strain of to get my mind just right. But to believe God for salvation, to believe God for direction, for Holy Spirit power, I need less of me and I need more of Jesus. The only way to get it is through prayer and fasting. And so yesterday I was starving. Does anyone get starving? And it was like dinner time. I'm like driving around Marlton looking for anything. Everything looks good. Wendy's, McDonald's, Honey Grove, Shake Shack. I'm just going crazy because of my flesh. But I was also more spiritually alert to spiritual things. And if you're struggling with your flesh, God may be calling you out to time of prayer and fasting. Say, "Lord, I'm going to devote myself to the things of God, and I suppress the flesh, and I'm going to walk with the Spirit." Now listen, not to try to be weird with you, but when you give your heart to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes inside of you. You are a Christian. But we've been talking about there's a second moving of the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you pray in other tongues. Everybody can do it. Listen, when you walk with the Lord, I just want to invite you to keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep walking with the Lord. You say, "Well, John, sometimes I mess up." If you fall, which we all fall sometimes, you get back up and you keep moving forward in Jesus' name. I'm not going to ask you to who messes up sometimes. We all mess up sometimes. When the Bible says a righteous man, though he falls 7 or 8 times, he gets back up. The main thing, keep falling forward in the right direction. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be in your presence. Some people like turn around and say, "Oh, I'll go to the ball game that day." Well, of course you're going to mess up if you don't have your priorities in line. But Jesus, I want your Spirit. I want your presence. I don't want the flesh anymore. I've given way too much time to the world and wasted too much money. I want the Spirit of the living God to lead me and to guide me. And I don't want the flesh to dominate my life. I want the Spirit of the living God. You say, "Well, how do you do it?" John 15, verse 5. Listen to this. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Say, "John, I don't want the fruit of the flesh. I want the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I need to learn to be patient. I need to be controlled. I want to love people. I want what God has for me." How do you do it? The Bible says the only way you could do that is if you're engrafted in, you abide with Jesus, and then you will develop fruit in your life. But most people, listen, by the way, look it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Every pastor on the planet, you can't preach. You can't call people. You can't fill people. Only God can do it. And if you want to be close to God, you want to walk by the Spirit, you get engrafted in, and God will show you what's next. Which leads me to my third point, is this. Oh, and by the way, yesterday, I was so into the royal wedding. Anybody else? Oh, it was so great. Did you see how Prince Harry was looking at her? Every girl in the room wants to be a princess, right? A special day, Prince Charming. Serena Williams was there. It was so cool to see Serena. Oprah was there. I was there. I just flew back in last night. I'm really tired. They invited me there. But, you know, they're talking about Prince Harry. You know, he's this prince, but he's never really going to be the king. You know that, right? It's like the queen, she's getting older than Charles. I think he's going to get it next, right? And then Charles, his son, the older one, who's losing hair, that guy. You know what I'm talking about? What's his name? William. But then, like, all the little kids get it after that. Like, this, all these little kids are, like, this tall. They're going to be the king before Harry. And everybody is like, wow. I'm like, he's not going to get it, everybody. He's not going to be the king. It's just for, like, this one day. I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but do you know me and you? We, every morning, we get to be with the King of all kings. You get to talk to the creator of the universe. He wrote a book, and you can have a relationship with the author of the book. You say, well, who wrote the book? God wrote the book, and he'll talk to you through this book. And if you get engrafted in, you can walk by the Spirit. Listen, it was beautiful wedding, beautiful weather. I mean, I don't know why I had people in different sections and all that. It doesn't matter. But you can have God walk with you. I'm like, you know what? That's nice, but that doesn't affect my life. I need help, God, to help me walk through life right now. Number three, walk in the Spirit with expectation. Not just the past, but with expectation. You say, what do you mean? Verse 25. This is the future. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Bible talks about this. Your life has a step. It has a way. It's like a cadence. Sometimes it slows down. Pastor Jermel is slowing down right now. He had an ACL, right? Sometimes the Lord slows your walk down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's part of it too. Sometimes it speeds up. Wow, God's doing great things, wonderful things. Most people, they do one of two things, which is dangerous. They go like this, real fast. Or, you want me to do that again in slow motion? Or most people like this. They just stand, and they're not walking with the Lord. They're not walking with expectation. What is going to happen? And what is God going to do? And how is God going to bless? And if we obey the Lord by faith, and we don't satisfy the flesh, and we say yes to the Spirit, and we believe God for the next thing, won't God be faithful? Won't God be good? If I walk with Him, there's a bright future for our children. Every child in this room, there's something wonderful that God has for you. If you'll walk with Him according to the Spirit, there'll be new people that you'll meet. There'll be new opportunities, new ministry, new doors of opportunity. You just keep walking with the Lord, and He's so faithful. I want to tell you, this church has not run, and it has not stopped. It's just been faithful to walk with the Lord. I'm not saying it's been perfect, but 5 years ago, we were looking for a children's pastor. Finding staff is my most difficult thing. Very hard to find people. And we were looking for someone to work with children. It's hard to find people that love kids. I'm not talking about just someone who wants a job and just tell, yeah, I want a job, but I really don't like kids. No, we're hiring a children's pastor. And we kept looking for different children's pastors. Matter of fact, we were in a little hiatus there. My wife was running to the back, working with kids. And all of a sudden, we heard about this Ground Zero Master's Commission. And we had a couple of their leaders. This is 5 years ago. We were still looking for children's pastor. They came and, like, did our children's ministry. Like, on Sunday morning, we paid them. I think it was, like, $200, like, a week. It was great, but it was just temporary. But they were, like, amazing young people, like, serving. We actually had a problem 5 or 6 years ago with that age group. We just knew it needed to develop. Let me just show you some pictures from Thursday night. We had this age group at my house for a young adult. This is my house. We're making pizza. Watch, keep going. We had 60 people at my house. We're playing volleyball, and we had a great time. Man, we had just a great time. So we went from having a little difficulty. So all of a sudden, God started opening us up. So I said, can we hire some people from the Ground Zero, right? They said, no, but we're looking maybe to move the whole program from New London, Pennsylvania to New Jersey 5 years ago. And so I'm like, yeah, but we're looking for a children's pastor. And Pastor Mike goes, I'll be the children's pastor. Have you ever seen Pastor Mike? Pastor Mike looks like a motorcycle guy. He's got the long hair. He's got all the leather. I'm like, keep him away from kids. So Pastor Mike came. And this congregation was a little confused about what master's commission was. It's like, huh? Are these kids on drugs? Like, who are these kids? Like, they had no idea. I had to explain to the congregation. Listen, the cost of college is very expensive. I have two kids at Evangel University. God is good to us. We've gotten the cost down, but any Christian college today or any Christian college is in the mid-30s. Secular could go $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. I mean, it's almost better to be poor or rich, but to be like normal in America is very expensive. And there's another thing. I went to Central Bible College. They shut that down. So now, if you want to study, be a missionary or a church worker or a pastor, you're very limited to where you can go for affordability. And most pastors aren't in it for money. So how are you going to educate and train in a local church setting? All of a sudden, God in his sovereignty provided Pastor Mike and Ground Zero Master's Commission, and they plopped themselves right here, and it's been the best thing that's ever happened to Marlton Assembly of God. Amazing. But it wasn't like ingenuity from my part. We were just praying. God, lead us by your Holy Spirit. We won't run ahead of you and hire just some bozo, but we won't stop. We'll just kind of keep marching this out. And we just kept marching this out, and God blessed us. And God continues to bless us. God continues to lead us and to guide us. And we have some of the most precious young people on the planet studying for ministry right here. They're hard workers. They're servants of God. And their lives are changing, and God is sending them out to the rest of the world to make a difference for him. It's happening because we're simply being led by the Lord. It's not led by John. We'd be in a whole bunch of trouble. We're just being led by his Spirit. Watch this quick video. It talks about how God can change somebody's life with Ground Zero. Watch this.
Hey, everyone. My name is Greg. I am a second-year student at Ground Zero from Virginia. Before coming to Ground Zero, I would struggle a lot with my identity and my value as a person, because I felt that if in some way my performance didn't measure up to what I expected of myself, then that changed my value. But since coming to Ground Zero, I was able to sit under the tutelage of mentors and even other students who had walked through similar things in their own past, and they were able to show me that God's love and his acceptance and his perspective of me doesn't change based upon what I do as an individual, because it's based completely upon what Christ did. Now I can function and live for God because of what he's done for me, rather trying to earn it for myself. So if there's anyone who's thinking about Ground Zero or considering it as an option, I would just want them to know that if they do come, they'll sit under teachers and mentors that really, really love them and want them to know what Christ did for them.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Red.
Yeah, it's red. This is a red balloon. The absolute truth is that this balloon is red.
No, that's green.
But I know my colors, and this is obviously red.
No. That's definitely green.
Pause. You think that this would be really simple, right? That's the debate that ends here. But wait, there's more. Play.
That is the prettiest yellow balloon I've ever seen.
Hello, man, it's red.
No,
it's here.
Definitely green. I'm telling you. Oh, no, it's red.
I know.
Okay. Well, if you look at it from my perspective
right
over here.
Your perspective?
Yeah.
Hey, see, nice blue balloon.
It.
Blue.
Oh, it is green.
Green,
yeah,
nice.
Green.
Okay, at least we can all agree that this is a balloon, right? Okay. Like, yes, that's the
no!
Sorry. Wrong button.
just the way it goes.
Exactly. Trevor, didn't you just say that this is green?
It is green. See, I'm obviously smart, and I went to college. And when I was in college, all my professors, who all have doctorates in color...
Wait, hold on, Trevor. Do you have a doctorate in color? No. It shows.
Yeah, it shows. Anyways, even they don't agree on one theory of color. They say that you should just pick whichever color works best for you. And green is great for me.
See? That makes sense.
Thank you.
No, it doesn't. You can't just pick whatever fits your life best. Red is red.
Okay, do you know what the word intolerant means?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're being right now.
No, I'm not.
You're taking your opinion and you're shoving
it
down
my
throat.
It's not my opinion,
Trevor.
It's the
you're
truth.
You're choking me, Veronica.
Good job, you guys. Good job. Takes two guys for the pulpit. All right. You know, the Lord says he wants us to worship him in spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit will always lead you into truth. He will never do you wrong. His timing, this is the challenge, I think, in life when we're led by the Spirit, is trusting God for his perfect timing in our life. Sometimes we have these ideas. We get disappointed when things don't happen the way we want them to go. But God's ways are always perfect. And we're led by the Lord. His truth will set us free, and his timing will be perfect in your life. If you're led by the Spirit of God. 4 years ago, we were looking for a new youth pastor. And through the sovereignty of God, Pastor Andy had moved up from the Maryland area, and he was sitting in our congregation. And I had heard that he was sitting there. He used to be a youth pastor, so I took him out to Cracker Barrel. Best restaurant in the world. I said, hey, Andy, let's meet together. And I actually forgot my credit card, and I had to force the candidate to pay. But anyway, that's another story. I said, Andy, what are you doing with your life? He goes, I got a great job at Wegmans with a lot of upward mobility. And he worked in the seafood department. There was a great company to work for. And literally, he was handling fish. Like he was moving fish. That was his job. And in the back of my mind, I remember the scripture. Come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. I said, Andy, I need a great youth pastor. And Pastor Andy came and with the field house, really grown a strong youth program. But last year, a year ago, we were looking for, we had some great quality people. So what happened was, remember last year, Pastor Mike, he came to Ground Zero. He had got it really strong, brought it to New Jersey the whole bit. He goes, I'm feeling like God is calling me to be a senior pastor. I'm like, oh, here we go again. So we begin to pray and say, Lord, what's your will? Lead us by your Holy Spirit. And we actually interviewed some really talented, gifted people from outside the church. And it just seemed like those doors shut. Not because there's anything wrong with the people. It just didn't seem God was leading us that way. So we're stuck. Have you ever just been like seeking God? It just doesn't seem to work. But if you just hang in there and trust the Lord, just walk with the Lord, just be faithful. If you'll take the right next step, God will show you. And then Pastor Andy came knocking on my door. He goes, Santina, I feel like God is leading us to run Ground Zero School of Discipleship. I said, wait, you're going to do youth and Ground Zero? He goes, I know it's going to be a lot, but I'm raising up some great leaders there, and we have some great leaders there. And for the last year, Pastor Andy has blessed us. Ground Zero, we feel, is getting stronger, getting more grip, and we're moving forward. So, okay, well, now we got there. Then Pastor Andy, you know what he does to me? He basically says, I need more money. I'm like, oh, man, I'm like my dad. What do I think, I grow on trees? You know, the whole bit. He goes, you know what we need? He goes, we need a van to get these Ground Zero students. And at that time, they were traveling to Kentucky all around. We actually started getting a little nervous as church leadership because of liability, how far away they were. So we just said, Lord, would you provide transportation for these young people? And we actually put it to the congregation. I said, Pastor Andy, give me a number. Like, give me a number. Like, how much do you think of a new van, a 15-passenger? He goes, $38,000. He did some research, $38,000. So we put it before the congregation. We're looking for either to give us $38,000 or give us a van. It needs to be good, not like wobbly, you know, going down the street, you know, like a good one. We need an engine and we need some wheels, you know, the whole thing. Sometimes church people are like, hey, here's a bike. No, we need everything right here. And in the sovereignty of God, you want to hear a miracle? There was a player from the Eagles whose wife went to a local dealership here and she spruced up the vehicle for her liking, tinted the windows, special stuff on the inside. And I don't even know who the player is. I guess we could find out. But the player, I think, either moved or got traded to another team. My guess is the player's wife put like a little deposit down on the car, like $1,000, maybe a couple thousand, and she walked away from the deal. So there was a guy in our church who he has a fleet of vehicles for his business. And it was so affordable that he just kind of bought the vehicle, the van, and just kind of put it, and he had it in his driveway. The next Sunday, Pastor John says, listen, we need $38,000 or we need a van for the Ground Zero students. Pastor John's over here. He's praying and fasting. Oh, Lord, where are you? Where are you? And the gentleman or the husband and wife, they came up to Pastor Andy. They said, we want to donate this van to Ground Zero. Oh, that's the van right there. That's the van right there. Ground Zero drives in that vehicle every day of the year. You want to hear him? Is that true, Pastor Andy? Almost every day. We're saving it. We're preserving it for many years. You know how much that vehicle's worth? $38,000. Amazing. When you just take steps of faith and you obey, then the Lord opens up the next door. And then the next door. But if you don't obey through this door or what God's asking you today or whatever your anticipation is, you're not going to get the next one. And God just, in his grace, he just begins to do that. You know what the great story is? The people, they still have it under their insurance. Praise the Lord. Ah! It's still under their easy pass. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's keep it going. You know what I'm saying? You want to hear another miracle? Listen, we were just looking for a children's pastor. We were just looking for a children's pastor. And then God in his sovereignty, as we were walking with the Lord, it wasn't that we were doing anything special. God gave us Pastor Mike. In God's perfect timing, God moved Pastor Mike, fulfilled his heart to be a senior pastor. God rose up Pastor Andy. Master's Mission, Ground Zero School, discipleship now, came under him. Pastor John, we need a vehicle to get around. Okay, let's. Then Pastor Andy, a couple months ago, Pastor John, we need more housing. I'm like, do you think money grows on my trees? We're going back and forth. What's happened is there's some wonderful people in our church have home openers, and there's some other houses that we've rented, Cinnaminson, Pensauk, far away. There's a little bit of liability, half-hour drive. Half of our students don't have cars. So if one of them gets sick, someone else has to drive them home and all that stuff. I said, I think it was just like a God thought. I said, Pastor Andy, why don't you just call different apartments like around here and just see if what like how much they cost. You know housing in New Jersey is expensive. I said, just call. Maybe someone's a Christian. Maybe we could pay them under the table. No, I didn't say that. But I am from North Jersey, so anything goes sometimes. I'm just joking. Michelle. All right, anyway. So in the sovereignty of God, Pastor Andy did his homework. I said, but Pastor Andy, what about Hunter's Chase? That's like just the next apartment right behind. If you go out North Elmwood and you make a right, it's the first right there. And so I said, Pastor Andy, why don't we just go in there and talk to him? Me, Pastor Andy, I brought the big guns. I brought Jermel in too. Jermel's praying the Holy Spirit. Jermel believes mountains can be moved. We got everything going. We walked in there and they said, we don't have anything available. And like a two-bedroom apartment, basically you can get four people, like two people in each bedroom apartment. When the landlord's not there, we get more people in. No, I'm just joking. I'm not just joking. Just joking. That's my North Jersey. That's my sinful nature. That's my sinful nature. That's my flesh. Now, what with the... So it costs like a certain dollar amount. I said, but do you have any three bedrooms? Oh, you want a three bedroom? We actually have one three bedroom coming up. So you can actually get, you know, there's three bedrooms, two persons in each one. You get six people in each one. And then she just gets talking. She goes, oh, we have another one opening in June. Another one in July, in August, we're like, we'll take that one, we'll take that one, we'll take that one, and take that. Next year, all of our Ground Zero students can literally be walking distance right around the corner. Hunter's Chase, like right there. You look at this, isn't that amazing? That's nice. Some of you are like, I'm joining Ground Zero School of Discipleship. Think about this. They have a workout room, free coffee every morning. They have open grills and a pool. 18-year-old kid for $7,000 or $8,000 a year, full education, part of a local assembly of God, and right around the corner, God has opened up housing for us. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Now listen, I don't know if we'll use that next year. I know we need housing. I don't know if something's going to come up across the street and we'll build or whatever. All I know is this, that those who are led by the Spirit of God and not the flesh, God shows them the next things for their life. He opens it up. I don't know how it works. All I know, it comes with faith and obedience. It'll come in your life. It will happen in your own individual life. You're sitting there, you're trying to figure out, you're trying to pay off the bills. The Lord will come and show you what you need to do. You're trying to figure out, what's the next move? Should I buy or sell this property? You're trying to say, should I put my kids in Catholic school, public school, homeschool? The Lord will show you. He'll lead you. He'll give the right people a conversation. It can happen in the lobby today. It can happen in the parking lot. God, by His Holy Spirit, if we just obey Him and trust Him, He just begins to kind of open up, and if we just take the next step. God is so faithful if we walk by the Spirit. His ways are good. So I'm just going to tell you how it is. About 6 months ago, a nice lady in the church came up to me and she goes, I want to give $200,000 for the sanctuary expansion. And I was like, did I say sanctuary expansion? I didn't think I said sanctuary expansion. She said, I just want to give it. I said to her, that's all? No, I'm just trying to, $200,000, that's the flesh, that's the flesh. Sanctuary expansion. I said, well, yeah, we do want to do it. We have some problems. There's these big beams. It costs a lot of money. We got all this architects and stuff. So we actually have like this $200,000 kind of hanging over our head. Once in a while, I keep asking, hey, is it still available? You know, just to make sure. She hasn't given it yet. But we just modernized this sanctuary, closed the doors. We're not ready for the sanctuary expansion just yet. Our next step is just to move the soundboard there. That's our next step. When the time is right, we'll build out the sanctuary. I can't get out ahead of God. We have to have a financial plan. It needs to make sense. It needs to feel good to us, to the Holy Spirit. The Lord will show us at the right time, it will be there. God will lead you into truth, and He'll lead you at the right time for the next step of your life. Some of you have to make decisions in your life. The Lord will lead you. The Lord will guide you. If you'll walk by the Spirit, even if it doesn't feel right, doesn't feel good, some of you, your next steps are just to this altar. You've never given your life to the Lord. You're sitting there, can I pray in my seats? Yes. But there is something that happens when you take a step of faith and you move your body to the altar. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. You say, what's going to happen next? I don't know. God will lead you by His Holy Spirit. But what happens is when you sit like this, it's just the flesh. It just becomes about you. I don't like this song. You know, why does this have to happen? God says, nope, listen, if you want to walk by the Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, you must keep in step with the Spirit. You must have anticipation. God is faithful. He's going to lead us. He's going to help us. He's going to bless us. If nothing's happening at the moment, maybe I have some physical problems. Maybe I have some financial problems. Above that, God is still good. I'm going to keep moving forward in Jesus' name. And the Lord will show me, because He is a good God and He is faithful. It's Pentecost on a day-to-day basis in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? Pastor Jermel and Michelle, their next step, they're putting their house on the market. Their next step is to get themselves healed up. Their next step is to find a house down here. That's their next step. Our next step as a church, we have Memorial Day service. Our next step is June. We have the summer. We have anticipation. God will lead us. It is easy to get nervous. It is easy to not trust the Lord, but if you'll just keep walking with him, say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Trust him for his perfect timing. That's one way you always know is God's perfect timing. I've been pastoring this church for 10 years. Oftentimes there's angst. Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Who's going to do it? What about the finances? Where's the next move? Help me, Lord. God is so faithful. His timing. But there's people in this room, you have to make decisions today. Should I sell this piece of property? Should I buy this car? Should I put my kids in school locally? Should I send them away? Maybe I want to get married. God's that open that door. I don't want to get married. My kid, I don't know what to do. Sometimes your next step is not that hard. Your next step is just come to the altar and say, Lord, show me, lead me. Some people want the big sanctuary right away. We are not ready today for a big sanctuary. Tomorrow, maybe. Next week, maybe. Next year, maybe. Maybe never, I don't know. The Lord will show us. Young people, you don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to say yes to Jesus today. You just have to walk closer to the Lord today. Those who will walk with Jesus by the Spirit will walk in pace with anticipation that the Lord will show you. God will give you people that you never thought you'd run into. He'll give you resources. He said he'll never go needy. You'll never beg for bread. He shall supply all of your needs in Christ Jesus. Pray in the Spirit. Believe. Get wisdom. Surround yourself with good people, but keep walking. Keep trusting God. Keep believing God for souls. Let me just simplify this, and then we'll close it up. Cracker Barrel is closed until 12:30 today. There was a man who called the church office. His name was Marco. Marco's been in the church for the last 3 years. The last 2 months, he's moved to California. Marco, he left a voice message on our voice machine at the church. He goes, I am the worst sinner in Marlton. So I called him back. I just thought you're supposed to call people back. If someone does something nice, you're just supposed to write a thank you note. That's what my parents did. You know what he said to me? He goes, I left a voicemail at every church in Marlton and nobody called me back except you, meaning Pastor John. I don't know if maybe he didn't get the message. All I'm saying is he said, I am the worst sinner in all of Marlton. So I said, because I was actually praying that we'd reach people for Jesus. It's amazing when you actually start putting God first and you seek first, how God opens up a door or a phone call or a conversation. It's just like, it's miraculous. Have you ever noticed? Like God just leads you that way, right? So I called him, Marco. He actually testified 2 Easters ago. I said, Marco, why don't we get together? And after talking to him, he was the worst sinner in Marlton. Boy, he was messed up. Lost his family, made bad decisions, all this stuff. He goes, you are the only one that called me. So I say, you know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to disciple the worst sinner in Marlton. It's kind of interesting when God gives you that. So I just started meeting with him. We just kind of prayed together. We did follow together. He memorized all the scriptures. He went through it. God actually blessed him with a foreign job over in a Muslim country. He made really good money. God really blessed him. In the last couple weeks, he's now moved. But all it took for me was to return a phone call. I'm telling you right now in this room, there is so much potential. I'm not talking about conquering. I'm not talking about getting people out of wheelchairs. I'm not talking about getting a van and going to preach around Kentucky. I'm talking about you just, whatever the next step is for you, God's telling you, whatever the next step is, you just do it. Some of you just need to go home and hug your wife and say, honey, I love you. Some of you just need to apologize to your kids. I've been rough. Some of you just need to start praying in the morning, like read your Bible and pray. Some of you, your next step is just to tithe 10% of whatever God gives you. God's been talking to you about it. You say, how am I going to do it? You'll never figure it out that way. You just start obeying. Some of you, you're kind of trying to think what you're going to do tomorrow at work. Should I get into this relationship or should I not? I don't know, but all I know, if you'll just take the next step, it's not complicated. Marco, I was praying for sinners. The worst sinner in Marlton called the church office, left a voicemail. All I had to do is pick up the phone and say, hey, brother, let's meet. Some of you, all you have to do is pick up the phone. All you have to do is make things right. All you have to do is take the next step. Don't try to figure it out. Just trust him. He leads his people by his Spirit. I want to be a spiritual person, a spiritual man, spiritual, full of truth. I want to laugh and enjoy. I want to cry with those who are hurting and broken. But I want the Lord to lead me by his Spirit. God will lead you. He'll show you the next thing. But the first and the most important step is always to ask Jesus Christ into your life. The Bible says we're apart from Christ. We're sinners. We're apart, far from God. You say, well, I'm a good person. No, you're not. We're all sinners. Sin deserves death. That's why Jesus was sacrificed for your sin. But his blood can cover over your sin and make you whole and clean. And the Bible calls that being born again or salvation. That's always the first step. And then God will show you the next step. He's got a plan and purposes. You say, John, I'm old. God is preparing you for heaven. He's preparing all of us to move forward to eternal life in Christ Jesus. The Spirit-filled daily walk with Jesus, he leads people. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? Your next step is to ask Jesus into your heart. You say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with God. I'm not living for God. I've not embraced his love, his mercy, his grace. I believe he died on the cross. I believe that he was in the grave for 3 days and he resurrected. Pastor, I hear you teaching that if I ask Jesus into my life, that resurrection power will come into my own heart and Christ will live inside of me. If I give my heart to the Lord, I could be not only a spiritual person, but I could please God and obey him and live a victorious Christian life. I can be holy, I can be powerful in Christ. You're saying apart from Christ, I could do nothing. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus wants to set you free and make you whole from the inside out. And today, your next step is to ask Jesus into your heart. No one looking around. But across this room, you say, Pastor, I need to ask Jesus into my heart. I'm a sinner. I'm not where I need to be. But God loves me. He's coming after me. He has a plan and a purpose for my life. I want to ask him to come into my heart. I need forgiveness. I need a future. I need a hope and eternal life. You've come to the right place. Jesus Christ wants to make you whole. He wants to make you clean. He wants to forgive you of your sins, wrap his arms around you, and give you a future today. He loves you. This morning, that's you. You slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus to come into my heart. If that's you, let me just see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? You said, I need Jesus to come into my heart. I need him to change my life. Just lift your hand high so I can see it. I need the Lord. I need his grace. He cares about you. He cares about you. I think there's 3 or 4 people that lifted their hand. Sometimes God uses pastors and friends, Christians, to help people to pray. Can we all pray together? Make this your prayer. For those of you who lifted your hand, dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross to take away my sin and give me a new life that's found in Christ. Change my life. I turn from my sin. And I follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to take one more step. Everybody in this room, if you need God's direction, you need God's will, you need his divine favor and guidance in your life, God's speaking to you about your next step, but you cannot do it in the flesh. You must walk by the Spirit, his perfect timing, his perfect peace, his perfect grace. If that's you this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to live by the Spirit. I want to take steps of the Spirit, not the flesh. If you'll be open to it, I want to invite you to slip out of your chair and take a step of faith and obedience. We're going to sing, Oh Come to the Altar, and let the altar be filled with people who are anticipating God leading them and directing their lives by the Spirit. He is faithful in all of his ways.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. For Christmas was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide.
your eyes closed. How many of you are trying to either buy property, sell property, a car, or something with your business? You're asking God to show you direction, maybe an employee, about making decisions, a fleet of vehicles, or what your next career move, something with your business, something with your career. If that's you, let me just see your hand. I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, I pray you would give people in this room supernatural wisdom. I pray the temptation to walk by the flesh or to rely upon their own skill set in this decision, Lord, would not suffice. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. I pray supernatural, you would confirm in their life a key relationship, a key phone call, something maybe that they're talking to somebody that they could trust, or something that happened in this service. Lord, I pray, God, you would help them. You would guide them. I pray, God, they wouldn't rely on the flesh. If it's a no, help them to be satisfied with the no. Oh, God, by your Spirit. Can I just share a little quick little story? 10 years ago, I came down to Marlton, and I had a house to sell. You remember, it was 2007, 2008. The economy was horrible. I had flipped 3 houses. I bought my first house for $50,000, bought my next house for $150,000, and then the next one, like, it was like $400,000. I just kept living and rolling it into it. I was working hard. I was inner city, wasn't making a lot of money. But the church here, Marlton, they rented me an apartment on Weaver Street, the next, like, over 70. It was actually a professional athlete's house. It was like a row house. It was Jeremiah Trotter's house. You remember Jeremiah, the axe man? I was taking a shower in the same shower as Jeremiah Trotter. My metabolism was getting strong. The deacons of the church were so kind to say, hey, we'll rent something for you for 6 months. For 6 months, no one looked at my house up in North Jersey. And I was feeling so bad that we'd have to take another 6 months. No one looked at the house. No one went through the house. It's very discouraging sometimes when you're trying to do the right thing. You know, you're trying to trust God, and things don't go the way you want them. It doesn't happen in your timing. You get your hopes up, your dreams, and it just seems like disappointing. Like, God, where are you type of thing. I was having one of those. I was like, God, you called me down here, and I kind of like Jeremiah Trotter's house. I was sitting on the same toilet. No, anyway. Yeah. But it was, like, pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Jeremiah, I like to shake Jeremiah and try to say, but nothing happened. I think it was like 2 days before, like, we had to, like release up here. A Korean family walked through the house, liked it so much, they gave us almost what we wanted on that house, and we sold that house at just like a 2 days before. I was able to take that little bit of profit and get another house here. But my angst, my concern, God, where are you? And my disappointment and all these things that were happening, and it was mixed up with my faith in the Lord. And God was just so faithful. I want to tell you, there are times, even though you're pointing in the right direction, you're disappointed because it just didn't go the way you had hoped or the way you felt. But instead of getting disappointed with God at that moment, press through and trust the Lord. He's faithful. Sometimes that no is the best thing you'll ever have. We don't like being told. We're Americans. We don't wait online for anybody. The people on the bank, we go around you. We do it on our phone. But with God, He wants us to walk by His Spirit. He's faithful and good. And He's got it all figured out. And you're precious people under His blood, but trust Him at this moment. Believe Him at this moment. Because I believe our best days of a church, God's going to provide. He's going to provide. Miraculously, He's going to provide. If He provided a van, He'll provide another van. If He provided housing, He'll provide more housing. He'll do it in your life too. I promise you, He'll do it in your life. Even though you're disappointed today, He's a faithful and giving. Don't let Satan have a place in your mind. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to walk by the Spirit of Almighty God. Jesus, would you just lift your hands like this to the Lord? Heavenly Father, I pray for these precious people. I pray for Marlton Assembly of God that you would teach us to walk not by the flesh, but Lord, I pray we would be so united and abiding, and our branch would be so connected that we'd be producing fruits in our life that would glorify you. I pray we would walk by the Spirit of God, especially as it comes to new people coming to Jesus and the kingdom of God is advancing and your church getting stronger and us being less important and Jesus, you becoming more important for your glory and for your honor. Lord, let nobody get by with a shortcut around this altar. Let everybody go through that fire of holiness, strengthening us, Lord God, for what you have for us, so we can glorify and please you and honor you. I pray for our Ground Zero School of Discipleship students, as you're forming their lives, as they're coming up with experiences, set them in motion to obey you, to serve you, to bless you, to fulfill what God you have for them, to reach a lost and a dying world for you. Lord, I pray for our young people, our sons and daughters, that they would be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. Not in the God of this world or the atmosphere of this earth, but Lord, led by the Spirit of Almighty God for your glory and for your honor. Jesus, you're worthy. Come on, let's sing it to the Lord. Let's leave this place with thanksgiving and with praise, for he's worthy.